Govinda, तमाम भजामि चिंतामणि प्रकर्षम सुकल्प कनक्याप्रितेषु सुरभिरविपालयन्तम् लक्ष्मी सहस्रशतम् नमस्ते त्वमानम् गोविन्दमादिपुरुषम् तमहं भजामि So, we are worshipping the Adi Purush, the first person. Generally, in grammatical knowledge, first person means Adi. But here, first person means the Supreme Lord. The original person, not the first person, original person. The original person is the original in the original plant. There is the original planet. That's like here the original planet, scientists expect the sun. Similarly, the sun is also one of the mediums of many other suns. There are mediums of suns. The sun, in the estimation of this universe, is the original planet. But there are innumerable universes. And in each and every universe there is a sun. So therefore there are innumerable suns and moons. That is accepted by the modern science, and it is stated in the Vedic literature also. So, sun is not the original planet. But the original planet is called Goloka Vrindavan. But the sun has similarity. Just like the sun is shining, the shining planet, and on the sun shine there are other planets. They are moving by the heat of the sun shine on, in their orbit. So similarly, sun is also moving. According to modern science, sun is fixed up, but according to Vedic literature, sun is also moving. In the Brahma Samhita, we understand the movements of the sun. Yatchasu resa savita sakala grahana raja namasta sudamurti rasesu tija जस्ताग्या भवति संहृतकाल चक्रो गोविंदम महादिपुरुषम तमहं भजामि. The meaning of this verse is that I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda and Jastagya, by whose order this sun, which is considered to be the king of all planets. Sun is the king of all planets. There is no fact. Without sun, all these planets, they cannot live. Without sunshine, their life is extinct. Therefore, sun is described in the Brahma Samhita. Raja, samasta grahana of all the planets. And asesa teja means unlimited heat, fire, unlimited fire. Nobody knows what is the source of this fire. But there is unlimited fire. Some 93 million some miles away from this planet, still the heat is sometimes unbearable. Just see what is the fire. And it is so many times, 1,400,000 times bigger than this planet, as earthly planet. The Brahma Samhita says, in spite of the sun so many, high qualification, it is moving under the order of Govinda. Jasya Atmaya Bhramati Sam Vrijatāvata. It has got its own orbit. It is moving. Kālaśa. Kālaśakra means limited. Nobody is unlimited. That's like we are also moving within the time limit. Kālaśakra. This planet is moving, other planet is moving. Similarly, sun planet is moving. Srimad Bhagavatam, I think, if I am not mistaken, the speed of the sun is 16,000 miles per second. But it is moving. 16,000 miles per second. It is moving. So, Brahma Samhita gives us this information. Jatchaksuresa Sabita. Sabita means the sun planet. Jatchaksuresa. This Sabita, the sun, is considered to be the eyes, one of the eyes of the Lord. In its universal form, the sun is considered to be one of the eyes of the Lord. And the moon is also another eye. Take it figuratively or universal form of the Lord, but you cannot escape the seeing power of Govinda. He is seeing always. There are so many witnesses according to Vedic literature. So we cannot do anything hiding from the eyes of the Lord. He is seeing, he is witness. And that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Upodrishtya Anumantya. Upodrishtya. Upodrishtya means overseer. Overseer. Now in our childhood, not childhood, we are at that time, college student, Scottish Chartist College in Calcutta. So, that is Christian college, Scottish Chartist. So we had to read Bible also. There was a Bible class from 1 to 1:30. I remember, our professor, he was a great philosopher also, Dr. W. S. Arpuar. He was very nice man, very friendly. So he was explaining some Bible. I do not know that the Christians, they do not believe in karma. Is it a fact? They do not believe in karma?
They have a verse that you reap what you sow, which means whatever you do, you receive the reaction.
So the karma is accepted. But I do not know, Dr. Akwart was arguing that if I am suffering or enjoying as the effect of my previous life, so who is the witness? His argument was like this. Just like if I have committed some criminal act, in the court, there is need of witness. Then one has to prove that somebody has seen that he has done this. This is simply legal formality. Who is going to steal by keeping one witness? Nobody is going, but court wants that who has seen that he has stolen. Anyway, the doctor afterwards argument was, so who is the witness? Oh. I am suffering the reaction of my previous bad or evil activities, but who is the witness? But at that time we are not so intelligent, we could not answer. But later on, when we are grown up and studied Bhagavad Gita, then here in the Bhagavad Gita we saw that Upadrashta, the Lord is Upadrashta, is witness. Upadrashta, Anumanta. Anumanta means order. You cannot do anything without being sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of God. You have no power. Therefore, you are in all respects dependent. That we have got very nice experience. This hand is moving, but if the power is withdrawn, I cannot move my hand. Therefore, I am not independent to move my hand. So, upadrashta anumanta. We cannot do anything without being sanctioned by the Supreme Law. There is an English word that is not even a grass moves without the sanction of the law. So that is a fact. The how one is doing nice things and how one is doing evil things, if he is the order giver, that is our independence. We can take sanction from the law. If we want to do something evil, I cannot do it without the sanction of the Supreme. Or even if I do something very nice, that also I cannot do without the sanction. The how the Lord gives such sanction. The sanction is like this, just like a child is crying to get something from the parent, and the parent being disgusted gives him something or accept. Such kind of sanction. When you do something evil, the sanction is from the law, but it is not willing sanction, against the will of the law. And when you do something in cooperation with the law, that is called bhakti. We are doing everything in the material world. We are doing everything for all nonsense, for sense gratification. There is also sanction of the law, but that is unwilling sanction. But when we execute devotional service, loving devotional service, that is very pleasing to the law. So the bhakti yoga means acting by pleasing the law. That is the body of Srimad Bhagavatam. You are not forbidden to do this thing or that. But you have to see only whether by your action the Supreme Lord is satisfied. That's all. That much knowledge you must have. Then your life will be successful. The Srimad Bhagavat says, Atapungi Vijasvesha Varnasama Vibhagata Sanuskritasya Karmasya Sanasiddhi Haritosa. Atapung we deserve this. This verse was spoken by Śrūta Goswāmī, who was speaking before a very learned gathering at Naimisar. This is the system, a Vedic system, that, everywhere, all over the world, any civilized society, there is a nice speaker, learned speaker, and many persons hearing. That is the system from very old times. So, Śrūta Goswāmī, he was representative of Śukadeva Goswāmī, the speaker of Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, and he was addressing very learned Brahmins. So, he is addressing Vidasreshtha. Sreshtha means the topmost of the Brahmins. They were topmost of the Brahmins still. They require knowledge. Knowledge is so nice that even if you think that you are very learned, you are well versed in everything, still you require knowledge. That should be our motto. Don't think that I have finished. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this lesson in his life, that he represented himself as a fool. So everyone should think of himself that I am still a fool. Just like it is said that Sir Isaac Newton, he was such a learned man, but he used to say that I have simply collected a few grains of sand from the beach of knowledge. Knowledge is so vast that his knowledge was simply a few grains of the vast amount of sand of knowledge. Everyone should think that. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, he says that I am less than the germs in the stool. I have no knowledge. So the more you become advanced in knowledge, you know that how insignificant you are in comparison to the Supreme. So, although they are learned Brahmins, or Dija. Dija means not only Brahmins, but the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas. Kshatriya means a ruling class, administrator class, politicians. They are called Kshatriyas. And Brahmins means learned scholar in philosophy, in science, in theology. They are Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Vaishyas means traders, mercantile people, and Shudras means Vaisya, labor. So the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, they are called Bija. Bija means twice born. The Shudras, those who are once born simply by the father and mother, they are called Shudras. They are not counted amongst the higher class. But those who are twice born, that means once born by the father and mother, and the second birth is the spiritual father and Vedic knowledge. Once born by this material body, the father and mother, and the second birth is Vedic knowledge, the mother, and the spiritual master, the father. So that is second birth. The second birth, those who accept the second birth, they are called Vija, twice. So he is addressing Vija. Atapungvi Vija Sresha, the topmost of the twice born. Topmost of the twice born means Brahmin also, are the three classes. Take it for granted that the Brahmins, by the next line is Atapungvi Vija Sresha, Varnashrama Vibhagata. There are four kinds of classification. The Brahmin, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, and this is called Varna and Ashram. Ashram means spiritual situation. The Brahmachari, the Grihastha, the Vanaprastha, and the Sannyas. They are spiritual situations. So anyone, either a Brahmachari or a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or anyone, he will fall down in either of these eight divisions of human social order. So, Sudha Goswami says that anyone, that means anyone, must have some occupation. Varnashrama Vivaha. If you are engineer, then you have got some occupation. If you are medical man, you have got some occupation. If you are philosopher, you have got some occupation. If you are laborer, worker, you have got some occupation. Even if you are a thief, you have got some occupation. So everyone has got occupation. So just see how nice it is. The Bhagavad says, it doesn't matter what is your occupation, but simply try to see whether by your activities of a particular type of occupation, you have satisfied the Supreme Lord. Then, atapungi vidakvesta varnasama vibhavata sanusthitasya dharmasya saṃsiddhi haritosam. Haritosam. That your perfection of life will be considered in relation with the satisfaction of the Supreme Law. That you have to learn. How you are satisfying the Supreme Law. Now at the present moment, immediately, of course, taking Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna was present before Arjuna. So he was receiving direct order, that cause, you are speaking directly. But if somebody says that how I can know that I am satisfying the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is not directly present before me, this argument is not very strong. The Lord is present by His words. Just like in your Bible, there are 10 commandments. So, if you follow, just like the state is present by the law books, if you follow the law, then you are satisfying the state. Just like keep to the right. If you are following the rules, you are keeping the, your car on the right side, you are stopping when there is red light. That means, if you are satisfying the regulation, then you are satisfying the state. Similarly, if you satisfy the regulatory principles, then you are satisfying the law. It is very nice, it is very simple thing. But you must try to satisfy. Whether by your work, by your activity, you are satisfied, then your life is perfect. Atapungvididasvesta varnasama vivharata sanusthitasya. It doesn't matter whatever you are doing, but you have to see whether by your action the Supreme Personality Godhead is satisfied. Now, to facilitate these activities of the human being, there is spiritual mode. Spiritual master is the representative of God. Therefore, Vedic literature says, in order to understand whether God is being satisfied or not, the tad-vijnana comes of guru meva abhigacche. One must approach a spiritual master. In order to know, because my life is meant for satisfying God. But understanding that God is not present in my front, I cannot see Him face to face, how can I know that He is satisfied or not? But there are books, scriptures, literature. Apart from that, the Vedic Indian science, the Tadvijnana, in order to understand whether your action or activities has pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to take information from the Guru or the spiritual master. Tadvijnana khamsa guru meva avigachet. Avigachet means must. And the Vishwanath Chakravarti's prayer for the spiritual master, this is also said, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasad. The last version of his prayer is, yas whose prasadad satisfaction, bhagavat prasad. The Supreme Lord is satisfied. This is the case. By your action, because when you accept a spiritual master, then you have to work under his guidance. There are so many, rules and regulations, but adu buddhasa, the first thing is to accept a spiritual master. And if you have got a bona fide spiritual master, then it is to be understood that you have approached God, because He is the present. And if you act according to His direction, then it is to be understood that you are satisfying the Lord. This is the way, Vedic way. Jasya prasadad bhagavat prasad. Jasya prasadad nadati kutoki. If you cannot find out a bona fide spiritual master, or if you cannot satisfy the bona fide spiritual master, then you must know, you do not know where you are going. Nagati kuto. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, dhyayam subam stasya gunarnavasya bandhi gurasri karanarayana. This is the process. So, we should make this goal of life. How to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God? Govindam Madhipurusam Tamam. This is the real purpose. We chant this, that we are trying to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govind. Just like Bhramatisam Vritapala Chakra, there are so many verses of the Govindam Madhipurusam Brahma Sanghita. And Bhagavad Gita also, Srimad Bhagavatam also. So, there is immense knowledge of understanding. It is a great science of God. So if anyone is interested about understanding the science of God, then he should take seriously this moment of Krishna consciousness. Now one may question, why should I be interested to understand the science of God? Why not to understand the science of so many material things? Why one should be? No. This is the necessity. That is the Vedanta's injunction. Athata Brahma Jigyasa. This is the opportunity. This human form of life is the opportunity to understand the science of the Absolute. Either you say God or Absolute Truth or the Super Soul, the something, but this life is meant for understanding. If we miss this opportunity, we do not know where we are going. The defect of the modern civilization is they don't care. Hedonism, Chanakya, Charvakya. There was long before there was an atheist philosopher, As there are many atheist philosophers nowadays in former days also, he was known as Charvaka. According to his opinion, he says that don't care for next life. Don't care. Vasti bhutasya dehasya kuto punaragamano vasti. He says, because according to Vedic system, the body is burnt after death. As you bury underground, there are three corpses everywhere. Somebody throws away for being eaten up by birds, or somebody puts within the ground, or somebody burns it. So, Charvaka Muni says that after burning this body, who is coming and who is his responsible? You see, you did merely as far as possible. If you have no money, then borrow or steal, but live very nicely to first sense later. That is Charvaka Muni's theory, and mostly at the present moment, that theory is being followed. But the question is that Charvaka Muni says there is no next life. What is the proof? Does it mean that his word is proof that there is no next life? Then everyone will say something. Of course, that is being accepted. Anyone discovers or says something nonsense, it is accepted. But the process of basic understanding is not like that. You have to accept knowledge from the authority. Therefore, basic system has rejected the Charvaka Muni. He has no authority. He is authority himself. He says that there is no life. But what is the proof? But there are many proofs that there is next life. So we'll accept Charvaka Muni's theory. Nobody. No sane man will accept. And suppose if there is life. There are two philosophers. One says that there is no life. Another other says there is life. Now we have to study both. If there is life and if there is no life. But if there is life, next answer to Charvaka theory, if there is life, then if I am working irresponsibly, then I am becoming victim to my next life. So there are, but we have to take from the authority, just like the Bhagavad Gita says, that the soul is never born, never dies. Even after the annihilation of this body, there is no destruction of the soul. And soul is migrating in different species of life. So you have to take Krishna, the authority, Vedabhyas, the authority, there are many such authorities. So there is next life. There is no doubt, there is practical proof. There is, Krishna has given many proofs, I have spoken in this meeting many times. There is next life. So we should be responsible. This human form of life should not be wasted simply for sense gratification. That sense gratification facility is in every, even in the cats and dogs. There is that facility. By nature it is already arranged. But the special qualification of this human form of life is to know himself. And to try to understand that why I am in miserable condition. Where from I have come? Where I have to go? What is God? What is this world? This is called Vedanta. Vedanta means to understand all these things. So, Veda means knowledge. And Anta means the last stage of understanding. So, last stage of understanding is Bhagavatam or Vedanta. So, our request, our Krishna consciousness movement is that we are requesting everyone that you do not spoil your life is pursuit of sense gratification like animals, but think that this life is very responsible life. You try to understand yourself, what you are, why you are put into this miserable condition of material existence. If there is any remedy, or there is remedy, so we must take advantage of it and make our life successful. Thank you. Any questions?
If our first concern should be to serve God or Krishna, then why should there be a movement?
Because you do not know.
Well, you do it, you're telling people not to love.
Certainly.
But
Krishna also tells. Krishna tells. Krishna comes instead.
But you might get so caught up in the movement that you're forgetting about your serving God.
Why, I'm serving God. This movement means I'm serving God. What do you mean by serving? He, Krishna, says that you obey me. And if I say that you obey Krishna, is it not service? If your father says, my dear boss, you obey me. And if your oldest brother says, my dear brother, you obey father. Is it not service to the father? So we are doing the same business. Krishna says, sarva dharmān parityajya mamekam saraṇam vraja. You give up all other engagements, just surrender unto me, I shall give you protection. And we are saying the same thing, that you surrender to Krishna and you will be happy. So, we are voluntarily giving service to Krishna. Therefore, the service. Preaching word is the best service. If you preach right, if you preach wrongly, that is disservice. You have to simply say the same thing as Krishna has said. Krishna has said, the sarva dharmān parityajya mamekam saraṇam. You simply surrender unto me. So we have to say the same thing, that you simply surrender unto Krishna. Then it is all right. If I add something by my concoction, then it is not service. If I say, you don't serve Krishna, you serve me, I am God, then it is, I am going to hell. We have to say, you serve Krishna. I have no right to accept any service from me. But I can accept anything on behalf of Krishna. That is the spiritual master position. So, what is your question?
Movement might get in the way of serving Krishna.
Yes, it is service of Krishna. Because you have understood what Krishna wants, we are preaching the same thing.
Was there always a kind of a movement?
Yes, the movement is always there. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, jada jada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata pambutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujama. He says, my dear Lord, whenever people are misguided and there is too much manifestation of irreligiosity, at that time I appear myself. So this movement, this material world is such that Suppose one thing is now fixed, right, but still the time is so clear, after some time it will be distorted. This is the way of material existence. Therefore, movement required. Whenever there is deterioration of the real truth, there is necessity of movement. But the same movement, not a new movement. The movement means God is there, He is great, we are all subordinate, therefore our duty is to abide by the order of God, then we are happy. The movement is very simple. There is no misunderstanding. The same movement was preached by Lord Krishna. The same movement was preached by Lord Jesus Christ. The same movement we are also preaching. So there is no difference. Simply accepting the authority of the greatness of the Supreme Lord and engage ourselves. There is nothing new. You don't try to see something new. It is not new. It is oldest. Because God is oldest, you are oldest, and your relationship is also oldest. Therefore the movement is also oldest. You cannot manufacture anything new. People are after something new. What new you will have? Everything is old. The sun is old, the world is old, the moon is old, the atmospheric change is also old, the seasonal change, what is new there? Millions of years ago, there was sun, and still the sun is there. At that time the sun was hot, and still it is hot. At that time people are dying, the people are still dying. So what is new? It is simply waste of time for manufacturing something new, the concoction. There is nothing new. The old law is doing, history repeats itself. That is going on to everyone. So our movement is not new. It is the same movement that you accept the supreme authority of God, of Krishna. That's all. This is Krishna consciousness movement. But the process adopted is suitable for this time. That is also not new, not manufactured. It is recommended that in these days, just like during winter season, the process is to protect your body from being affected. Of course, that process is not new. Similarly, in these days, this age is called Kali Yuga. So, it is recommended, Kalo Tadhari Sankitana. Where God realization is only possible by this chant, Hare Krishna. Simple path. You come on, sit down, it doesn't matter what you are, whether you are Indian or you are American or Christian or Hindu, a man, woman, black, white, it doesn't matter. You simply come, chant Hare Krishna and realize. Because in this age, very severe method cannot be followed. The people are so fallen that even four principles we have ordered, that don't take meat, don't have illicit sex life, don't participate in gambling, and intoxication. It is very difficult. Why they avoid Krishna consciousness? That's like our friend Alan Ginsberg. He says, Swamiji is very conservative. Yeah. I have so many friends that ask me, Swamiji, why do you enforce these rules? You see, the people are so unaware. Their inability is so strong that these four principles, now you want sex life, all right, we say that you get yourself married. But that is already difficult. Intoxication, nobody has learned smoking from the beginning of his life. It is simply by association. So if you associate with that, you forget smoking, drinking. It was learned by association, you can forget it by association. No child used to eat meat from his very birth. It was milk. So this is all artificial. The so-called conventions of human society. Natural life does not allow all these things. So, by good or bad association, you have acquired so many artificial, I mean, these are habits. So simply, by association, you can forget us. Then you come to the pure life. And God is pure. Just like, without being heated, you cannot stand in a place which is very heated. The temperature must be the same. This is not to everyone. So, God is pure. You cannot approach God being impure. So, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is purificatory process. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchat. Rishik, Rishik means sense. And Rishikesa means the master of the senses, the lord of the senses, Krishna. So, by engaging your senses in the service of the master of the senses, that is called bhakti. Now, how you can do that? Tatparatena Nirmala. You have to simply purify, then it is easily possible. The Krishna consciousness means to adopt the purificatory process and then you have got natural engagement in the service of the Lord, your life. Yes.
You mentioned that it was natural for a child to drink milk and not eat the meat of an animal. And you stressed natural. Is it natural for a child to grow up and shave his head and serve God? Or is it just a form of socialization?
No, it is natural. Because he is fond of his mother, fond of his father. So he shall be fond of her, the Supreme Father. Therefore, it is natural. No child, you can see, he is not fond of his father and mother. When he is grown up, when he associates with his friends, he tries to forget his father and mother. But at the beginning, the other day I was citing the example, naturally, a natural affection, father's affection is there, mother's affection is there, child's affection. So father, mother never forgets the affection, but child forgets by bad association. Similarly, Krishna does not forget us, but we have forgotten. So this process is to revive our natural position to love Krishna. Now we are unnatural, the non-natural condition, forgetting Krishna. This Krishna consciousness movement needs to bring back everyone to his original concept. Perfection. Love between the child and father. And that is the best parents to the society. Suppose a child, nobody is greater than God, and we are all children of God. Therefore, we are children of the richest man. Because who can be richer than God? Who can be powerful than God? And you are sons of God. So, but we have forgotten, just like a boy from his childhood, he has left his home, very rich father, loitering in the street, he has no sufficient food, sufficient clothing. So, somebody sees, oh, this boy, he belongs to that rich man, is living in such wretched condition. So, the best service to that boy is to bring back to his father. Not that, my dear boy, I know that you are very rich man, son. You are now forgotten, you cannot, you have no proper eating. I am giving you a morsel of bread you eat. That is also service. But the best service is to bring him back to his father. Similarly, people are trying to serve this human society by so many morsels of food, that's all. And we are trying to bring back his father. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the best service to the human. Because his all problem will be solved as soon as he goes back to his father. No more problem. Therefore, everyone should take seriously about this Krishna consciousness. Yeah, what about the Christian consciousness? Corporate. Because you want it. Because you want it incorporated. Your state wants it. Your state needs you. Yeah, government wants it. You cannot be revolting against the government. You have to leave, keeping pace with the government. We are in Krishna consciousness, that does not mean we shall not use the electricity, we shall not take an apartment, or we shall not see something unnatural we have to do. Why? Everyone abides by the law. You have to abide by the law. There is no difficulty. And the government provides that religious society or this society has to get themselves incorporated so that it is recognized. And in so many activities, they want to know whether this society is recognized. So we have to take on these measures. We cannot go out of the purview of the general rules and regulations.
Well, there's sad news in India. They have warfare and, you know, wandering in the woods and stuff again. Do they have spiritual teachers? The sad news in India, who the ones who live in the forests and places like that?
Of course, those that are living in the forest, there is no barbar. Naturally, they have got long hairs. But why these farms in the city imitate them? There is no meaning. If a man is living in the forest, there is no facility of the barber, so he can keep long hairs. And why in the city?
I didn't mean a hair. I meant that the Sadhu who lives in the woods, does he have a spiritual master or... How does he live in the woods without a spiritual master and learn?
No, in the roots also there are many saintly persons, and people go there accept spiritual master and live with the spiritual master. But that is not very much convenient in this age. So, in this age, nobody is going to the forest to find out spiritual master, but the spiritual master has to come and canvass from India to New York. This is a different position. Yes.
It says that everybody who has laws should live under them, that an individual has the right to choose his own laws.
Yeah. Just like when you go path, keep to the right, you have got the right also to go to the left. But as soon as you go to the left, you are killing it. That's all.
But taking one of the commandments of the Christian Bible, thou shalt not kill, and applying that to a federal law, there you have two laws that are not stemming from the same law with different interpretations. So
what is that?
Yeah, the law of the Bible says thou shalt not kill. But the federal law says you must go into the army and kill. So which to follow? They differ. They both say opposite things.
Yes. The thing is, it is very simple to understand that just like a soldier is killing and his state is awarding him medal. And the same soldier, when comes home, if he kills somebody, he's hanged. Why? He can say, so you know, when I was in the war field, I have killed 100 somebody and I was given gold medal. And now I killed simply one man, I am going to be hanged. Why? So, it is the cause. If the cause is great, then killing is no sin. My Sanskrit that I have already expressed, Sansiddhi Haritosana. You have to see whether God is satisfied. That is, so that cause is great. Perfection of your activity will be just whether by your action God is satisfied.
You said the way we hear from God is through words, and if His word is centered by the men that are making the fight. That's by the men that are making the fight. I have no assurance that it's the word of God, unless every movement is God's
movement. I don't say this movement is that movement. The general principle is that if you think by a certain type of fighting God is not satisfied, then you should not fight. But if in some fighting God is satisfied, then we should fight. We do not say anything of right that this is bad or this is good. We say anything that has given satisfaction to God, Krishna, that is good. Anything which has not given satisfaction to Krishna or God, that is bad. Now you have to judge yourself how Krishna is satisfied. That requires training, that requires understanding. But the standard of the same example, that the same state, the same man, when you are fighting in the battlefield, you are being elevated to higher position, rewarded. But same man coming back from the battlefield, he has killed somebody, some of his neighbor, or he died. But the same state is there, the man is there, the action is there, the same. But why? The judgment is different. Similarly, we have to satisfy the great. And the greatest of the great is God. If by your action, Krishna, God is satisfied, then it is God. I don't say that this fight is good, that fight is bad. Fight or no fight. Even without fighting, he may be bad. That's like the instruction which he gets from Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was denying to fight, and he was considered by Krishna bad, because he was not satisfied. This is the evidence. And when Arjuna decided to fight to satisfy Krishna, it was very much good. So whole thing should be tested just by the satisfaction of the Supreme Law. Sankiddhi Haritosam. The perfection of any action in the material world, this thing is good, this thing is bad, that is our mental compass. Everything is bad. Yes. Everything is bad. We are simply manufactured by our own imagination, that this is good, this is bad. But to keep pace with the human society, or peace in the human society, there is necessity of doing and adopting something which is approved by somebody or state. That is different thing, that is material. But actually, as the ultimate end, as we are such as the quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, good or bad means satisfaction or dissatisfaction of the law. If any action is approved or gives satisfaction to the law, that is good. If any action gives dissatisfaction to the law, it is bad. That is the general. Now, you have to adopt yourself in the service of the Lord in such a way that you can know that this action is giving satisfaction, this action is not giving satisfaction. Then you are happy.
Our faculties of perception will be purified by adopting this Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Krishna consciousness means purification of all faculties. Because the faculties work on the basis of consciousness. If your consciousness is pure, it's like I am seeing. I'm not seeing. My mind is seeing. So if my mind is pure, then my seeing is pure. Similarly, if my consciousness is pure, my mind is pure. It is superficial. I am moving my hand. I am not moving. My mind is moving. So all the senses, 10 senses, and the centers, sensing is mind. And behind mind, there is intelligence. And behind intelligence, there is consciousness. And this consciousness, if purified, then whole thing is purified. If this consciousness is polluted, then whole thing is polluted. So you have to purify the consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness.
Then a man who does not have a purified consciousness has no way of knowing what is good and bad.
No. He's an illusion. Maya, that is called Maya. He's accepting something bad as good. Just like One is accepting this body as self. The whole world is moving, accepting this body as the self. The Atma Buddhi. But I am not this body. That's a fact. So it is illusion. Yeah.
You referred earlier to some proofs of afterlife. And I think that I saw, I don't know if you mentioned them further tonight or not, but I wonder, are these available in writing in English? And people here in the Philippines, try to mark it on there. Or
wishes to see proof of that, wishes to see proof of afterlife, either in writing, or he wants to know if there's something.
Afterlife, proof?
I mean, what proof is there? If it's available in English, someone like to read it, is it available in writing? He wants to read it, the Bhagavad Gita. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you'll understand everything.
Bhagavad Gita is one bhāga only, 18 chapters. So it is not very, 700 verses. You can read it in 3 days. It is not very difficult. So we have published Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I think if you read, you will get so many nice things. And after reading Bhagavad Gita, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you get further enlightenment. Then you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you get further enlightenment. And for general information, we have got this back to God, you can read. So we have got sufficient literature. It is not that simply we are talking, we are backed by sufficient knowledge and vision. Yes.
Well, the suggestion that perhaps the battlefield in the Bhagavad Gita is the battlefield of Arjuna's mind and Krishna is trying to push him over the battlefield.
That means you think that battlefield is an imagination?
The battlefield is symbolic of Arjuna's mind and the course of Krishna.
Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? Suppose Arjuna is talking with Krishna. Then who is mind is Krishna, image is there?
I mean to say that the battlefield is symbolic of...
What is this? He will give the example. This is this symbol, this is this symbol. What is the symbol of battlefield? That you do not know?
Are you saying that should be taken literally?
No, no, what is your idea? You are putting question, are you clear in your question? Or you are simply questioning without any clear idea? What is your position?
What am I asking?
Yes.
I'm asking in the battlefield.
Why you are asking that?
What?
Why? Why that question is in your mind, the battlefield is imaginary?
That's what I read.
That means you are misled.
Well,
you have not read very nicely.
Don't you think that perhaps it could be symbolic?
No. No. Not at all.
Well,
you have to, if you are present symbolic, then you should give, this is the symbol of this, this is the symbol of this. What is the symbol of battleship?
That means
you're misled. Don't study all this nonsense. You'll be misled. Therefore we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. The battlefield Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra. It is Dharma Kshetra, Dharma Kshetra. Pandava, Pandava. We have explained in that way. Not that we have accepted the battlefield is this or that. No.
Not the
symbolism of the age. No. Why? Do you see any historical fact of symbolism? If there is historical facts, do you take a symbolism? Suppose somebody is describing the World War number 2. Is it symbolism?
Okay.
So similarly, this Bhagavad Gita is described in the history of India, Mahabharata. So how you can take a symbolism? Mahabharata is the history. Maha means great. Great history of India, Mahabharata. It is historical fact. How you can take a symbolism? Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. That you see, that Kurukshetra is still lying in India. From very old time. So how you call it symbolism? And it is Dharma Kshetra. In the Vedic literature, it is the injunction is Kurukshetra, Dharma Vachare, and still people go to Kurukshetra for religious. But in religious rituals, still they go. That Kurukshetra battlefield is there. It is being treated as the place of pilgrimage. How you can say that it is symbolic? This is all nonsense. Historical facts is still being followed. Pandavas, the historical. Still, there is one old fort. People say this fort belongs to the Pandavas. The Indraprastha, New Delhi is called Indraprastha. Everything is historical. How is that symbolic?
Possibly. Every action has a law of Krishna, law of the devil.
Hari's question.
Krishna has something in his mind, therefore it becomes backward. He projected it from his mind, and thus it became history.
No, not that he projected it, but people trying to please Krishna.
You have to please Krishna.
Yes.
Not trying, but if you don't please Krishna, then you are in difficulty. That is your position. It is not Krishna's interest. It is your interest. Just like if you want to live peacefully, you have to please the state. There is no question that by pleasing the state by yourself, the state becomes very enriched. It is for your interest. If you please the state, then you can live very peacefully. Similarly, Krishna is full in himself. His grace. He does not require your some action so that he may be pleased. He is pleased already. But if you please him, then you are happy. That is your interest. Yes.
Don't you think that since there are
people in different temperaments, different types of people.
Yes.
Well, don't you think that by denying Raja and John, the other new things that you're denying the infinite aspect of mankind? I think that by a certain bhakti yoga is the only way that you're saying that.
Yes, the infinite aspect. We are publishing one article, Dr. Flop. The Dr. Flop means he, perhaps you know anyone, the frog lives in a well that is only a 2 feet. And another frog is giving information to its friend in the well. My dear friend has seen a vast water, Atlantic Ocean. But this frog has never seen Atlantic Ocean. He's calculating. It may be so much big. It may be so much big, it may be so much big. So, how this infinity can be calculated by the frog? Suppose we are calculating infiniteness of this teeny soul. They are all doctor frogs. You are not infinite, you are finite. How you can be infinite? You can be infinite only when you dovetail yourself with infinite. Individually, you are finite. That is the position, real position. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, you have read Bhagavad Gita? So, did you not read this verse? In the 15th chapter, Mamaivansa Jiva Bhuta Jiva Loka Sanat. Have you read this? That these living entities, they are my parts and parcels, fragmental parts. So, God is infinite. Infinitesimal part and parcels. So, how you can be infinite?
With the aspect of. You said yourself
that
there are people in many different
temperaments. But there must be one standard temperament. What is standard temperament? You may have different views of something, but there must be some standard. We are not concerned with the different views of different persons. We have to accept the standard. That's just not.
Well, but don't you think that perhaps bhakti yoga isn't the way for everyone?
Yes.
That for some people, others yoga would apply more to their.
Yes, that is in the preliminary stage. The same example that you have to go that in New York, that Empire State Building. 102 stories. So, everyone is going to the top, but somebody has passed 10 steps, somebody has passed 20 steps, somebody has passed 20, but there may be thousands of steps. So, one who has gone to the top, he has passed all the steps. Similarly, there are different processes of yoga, karma yoga, Jnana Yoga, they are divided into three. All these three yogas are described in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. But you will find the Yoginamapi Sarvesham. When yoga is described in the 6th chapter, you will find the Lord says, Yoginamapi Sarvesham. Of all the yogic practices, Yoginamati Sarvesham Madhvata Antaratmana, one who has taken me within himself. A Saddhavana Bhajate Juma, and with faith and love, he is engaged in my service. He is first class. So the first class yogi had all these Krishna conscious boys and girls. First class. Because they are always thinking of Krishna within. And that is recommended by Krishna. The author of our yogic principles. He is called Yogesha. The master of all yogic principles. So he says that here is a first class yogi. Who is thinking always within himself, me, Krishna. Yogi Navati Sarvetam Madhata Pantanata. So Dhyana, he says, and that, Bhajate, is engaged in my service. Same is the Buddha. He is the first class, topmost yogi. So all yogi process must culminate in Krishna consciousness. So anyone who has accepted Krishna consciousness, he is supposed to be the first class yogi. Actually, what is the ultimate end of yoga? The meaning of yoga is contact. Contact is home, the Supreme. Krishna is the Supreme, so one who has contacted Krishna, he is happy. He is, somebody says that I am incarnation of God, then why you cannot say that you are incarnation of God? What is the difference? No, not in India. Don't say like that. No. Rama was accepted as incarnation. Krishna was accepted as incarnation. In every home, there is Rama and Krishna worship, not this Rama Krishna. Neither any acharya accepts it. Ramakrishna, he said himself that one who has Krishna, one who has Ram, I am, he said. So he is disappointed, Vivekananda. But in that way, if somebody dies, he says, one who has Krishna, one who has Ram, I am, his son accepted. But that is not the way out. There must be proof. Krishna is accepted by Vyasa, by Nara, by Chaitanya, by Ramanuja, by so many great scholars, Therefore Krishna is accepted by all Indians as God, and he has proved himself, his activities. There is Vedic proof, there is scholarly proof, authoritative proof. There are so many things and people, there are thousands and millions of temples of Krishna worship in India. And how many temples there by Ramakrishna? Krishna, because he is old, therefore there people have taken. People forget old things. Why they are adhering the old things? At Vrindavan only one place, there are 5,000 temples of Krishna. Only in Vrindavan. So this is all propaganda. We have to test who is incarnation, who is not, by the authority. Vedic literature. Lord Buddha is accepted as incarnation and very good.
People that have come since the Vedic literature.
Huh?
What about people that have come since the Vedic literature?
Okay.
He says, what about people who have come since the Vedic literature? Since the time the Vedic literature were written. What about them?
Vedic literature is not written. It is before the creation. Vedas, before the creation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, then statement, Tini Brahma Rida. Brahma is considered to be the first created living entity. So he learned Vedas from within, from the super soul. Tini Brahma Rida. So Vedic literature is not written at a certain time. It is coming. It is called Apurusha. It is not fragment. So you have to study it very scrutinizingly. Then you will understand. Thank you. Okay. Now, chat. If incarnation has to be accepted by the evidence of Vedic literature, by his activities, by his features, and by authorities, there are so many things. Not that if somebody says, I am incarnation, and that's why I become incarnation. No, not in that. If somebody comes here and says, I am President Johnson, so any sane man will accept him simply because he says. And if somebody accepts him blindly, then he's a fool. Oh, you might say, well, today, he says, let us taste the bona fide, his credentials, what are we, President Johnson? So we cannot accept even a man. How can he accept God without credential? What is the credential of Ramakrishna? That is incarnation of God. Which things that we consider? Not that because Vivekananda accepted, therefore one accepted. What is the credential? What is the proof? What is the extraordinary work? Lord Rama is accepted as God. There are so many extraordinary works. Krishna is accepted as God. He has got so many extraordinary works. Amen. Yes?
If we can believe the Beatles, you are not the only wise man to come out of the details of the earth. What do you know
of Saman Rishi, and what do you tell of the teachings of his parents? He's famous among the fools. He's not famous for me. No. He cheated some fools because they wanted to be cheated. That's all. And he finished his business. After the fooling, then he retired, that's all. Because he wanted to be cheated. Some cheap method to become God immediately. He should find out the spiritual master. Everyone should find out. That is the injunction of the Vedas. Pratidhyanasam sadhurme. If you are interested to understand the spiritual science, then you must have. That is your business. All right. 5, 10, 9. No, yes. No, chat.
Thank you.
कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु आनंद से अद्वैत गदाधर सुभाषादि गौर भक्त श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप विनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी वर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय नवद्वीप धाम की जय अद्वैत भक्तवृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरी टू जय संबंधी भाव ऑल ग्लोरी टू जय संबंधी भाव ऑल ग्लोरी टू जय थैंक यू I'm asking you.